Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Ain't no mountain. Have we done that song already?
No.
Okay, go for it.
Why?
Because I can't just say ain't no mountain high enough.
I will
ain't
love this song.
No river low enough.
I don't. Keep me ain't from swimming to you. Is it swimming?
No. Getting to you.
Getting?
Yeah. So there's other what words
because
in there.
Because it's a mountain, it could be climbing. Keep me from climbing to you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no.
Okay.
You probably need to research some words of songs before you sing them. How are you going?
I'm just trying to plant that seed in the audience's mind so they're all gone when they switch off the podcast. They're all like, ain't no mountain high, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so
yeah.
How are you going?
Good, I'm Grant. That's good. Yeah, that's lovely. Good, nice to see you again.
What's your name? My name is Mitch. We have been constantly asked to cover a particular topic.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about that topic today.
Yes, very serious topic.
It is a very serious topic. So we've been asked to talk about the topic of depression.
Yeah.
And we're very mindful when we talk about these things because we have a very different take on depression than would be the norm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for people to understand it's from, you know, 15 years of working at the coalface with people who have a whole myriad of things that they come to see us about.
Yeah.
You know, from people who are business people that just want to get ahead to people who are, you know, suffering from some sort of illness or people who are, you know, moms or dads or pops or people who've had traumatic experiences happen to them.
Yeah.
So I think we wanted to be able to cover this topic from a point of view of our experience.
Yeah, and I think it is important to if we're going to do this, we've got to talk about it because any topic, especially a big topic like depression, if you talk about it in a generic sense, you're actually taking away from like, you know, well, what about this person that's experiencing this? And what about this person that's experiencing this?
Well, you're creating goalposts that people are going to move.
Are going to move because it's not a specific example to them. So the best way for us to handle this is to talk – okay, this is how we've experienced it in our own lives personally and in the lives of our clients and how we've assisted other people.
And how we've helped people.
And how we've, you know, helped them to help themselves in this area, But it's obviously it's important that anybody who's experiencing anything calls Lifeline 13 11 14 is the number.
13 11 14.
So that, you know, that's you know,
that's a service that's there that's able to assist these people.
All right, so let's get into it.
Sure, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to start off by saying that when we talk about depression, I like to use the word perceived depression. And the reason I like to use the word perceived is, and I'll explain what perception is, and when we take in information through our senses and we position that information, we create a perception. That's what a perception is. So depression occurs when people are taking in certain information and they are moving who they are in relation to what's going on in the outer world. So they're moving around their value systems and what's important to them to try to make other people feel happy or to try to be something for someone else that they perceive they're not able to be. So our definition of depression, or my definition of depression, is a human being's inability to live their life in accordance with their values and what's important to them and in accordance with what they love. And I think that in terms of my life, the times when I have been depressed or down is when I've felt that I'm not on task, I'm not on target, I'm not in alignment with what I'm here to do, I'm not feeling joy in my everyday life, I'm not waking up inspired, I'm not feeling, you know, the important feelings that I think we need to feel every day as a human being, which is love. It's when I'm not taking care of my body. It's when I'm not eating well. It's when, you know, I'm running a concept in my mind that I have let someone down or let myself down. These are times in my life when I've been off kilter or what you would perceive to be depressed.
Yeah, I know there's people out there going, yeah, but that's not depression. That's that's just being sad or having a bad day.
Yeah.
But you have had experiences of being in that really low place, right?
And continuously.
Yeah.
You know, continuously.
So I know that. So I just wanted to clarify that. So I still don't understand what you mean and why you said perceived. So I think you need to be clearer on
that. Well, a perception, everything is perception.
Yeah, no, I understand
that. So you take in information through your senses and you create a perception about a person, a situation, a room, an environment. These are perceptions. Perceptions are how we position the information that we take into our senses and how we create
our world. You're saying people have positioned the information that's come in and labeled it something okay, and that can be anything. In terms of when we talk about depression, we're talking about that's your experience of that.
Yes.
Doesn't mean you're not having the experience.
Yeah,
it's saying that that's your experience of
it's
it.
Very
okay,
real.
I get it.
It's very real for a person in their perception that this is occurring.
That this is happening.
This is occurring in my perception and it's making me feel depressed.
Yeah. So I want to go back then. So and let's talk a little bit about values, because I think that the understanding and talking about values is important in the discussion of depression, right?
Yeah.
Values are something that's important to you.
Yeah.
And what happens in our lives is that as kids or as we're growing up, we perceive that there's things that are missing from our lives. Mm-hmm. For me, I perceived that a sense of freedom was missing from my life.
Yeah.
I perceived that a sense of understanding was missing from my life.
Yeah.
That the people around me loved me, but I was missing freedom for sure and understanding for sure.
Right.
They're a couple of the top ones.
Yeah.
As a result of that, as I grow and as I grow into adulthood and even teenagehood, the things that are the most important to me are things like freedom.
Yeah.
People who understand me.
Yeah.
People who take the time to connect with me. These are the things that are important to me because in my life I perceived they were missing, mm-hmm. right? And I think this is where values come from. This is a general or the most generic way to explain where values, what values are and where they come from.
Yeah.
You have this feeling that something's missing and as a result you want something in your life.
Yeah.
So when we can live our life in accordance with our values, we feel inspired.
Yeah.
So if I can live my life in accordance with some of my values, and my values include education, they include being understood, they include freededom, they include all of these things, they include connection. If I can live my life in accordance with these things, then something inside of me feels satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? It feels like I am filling my cup.
Yeah.
The things that I that are the most important to me, if I am living my life and I'm getting those things in my life, then I feel full.
Yeah.
When I'm not getting those things in my life,
mm-hmm.
right? And when I'm not living a life that allows me to get those things, I feel empty.
Right.
I feel like I want to go and, I don't feel myself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I feel like my life isn't being lived for me. And so a good example of that is I loved teaching. Like I loved teaching because teaching gave me so much of that connection and understanding, but I really didn't feel like I had freedom.
Right.
Right. And I was feeling like I was withering away all of the time. I'm feeling like this thing that I'm doing, I'm actually not doing for me.
Right.
I'm doing this because it's making other people in my life happy. It was an easier option. It makes my colleagues happy. It makes my family happy. But it's not really fulfilling me. As much as parts of it did, it wasn't really fulfilling me. So as soon as I left that and started, and that was a really big thing for me, but as soon as I left that and started taking back who I was and started living my life in accordance with the things that really fulfilled me,
mm-hmm.
that's when I started to come into myself, mm-hmm. and I started to come into being mm-hmm. more of who I was, right? Mm-hmm. So that's just a generic understanding of values and yeah. what and how and
so it's a bit like when what you're saying is that if I was to take you and stick you in a room and where you couldn't get access to the things that make you feel your values and make you feel as if you're living your values, well, then you're going to become depressed.
Absolutely.
Because you're not, you haven't got access to the things.
Yeah, because if somebody was trying to make me, if I got put into a situation where I had to be all these things, but I couldn't have yeah. all the things that I loved in my life, yeah. right, then there's no way I'm going to find the joy in that because yeah. They're not things that satisfy me. They yeah. might be things that satisfy other people, mm-hmm. but they're not things that satisfy me.
Yeah.
So depression, and I've had moments of very, very, very low times where you can't get out of bed.
Yeah.
You don't want to see anybody.
You're in the room.
You don't want to speak to anybody. Mm-hmm. And in those times are the times where I know that I'm living my life not in accordance with my values.
Yeah.
I'm living my life in accordance with what somebody else wants me to do, well, with somebody else's values.
I mean, this is a really important point, is that when you abandon a value, you immediately adopt the values of someone else.
Well, you can't abandon something because that leaves a gap, so yeah. you've got to fill that with something.
So it's a vacuum.
So it gets filled with somebody else's
value.
So
when you abandon a value, that value then becomes a void, so it becomes a perception of missingness. And in it being a perception of missingness, you know, that's what caused the problem in the first place, is because as a kid you perceived something was yeah. missing. So you're yeah. now back in that state.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? That primal
yeah,
state.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So depression is a very primitive state of the brain. It's a very primitive state of the being of a human being. And so, you know, over the years when I've had to get out of that hole, I've had to really stop and take account of the things that I love doing and go and do them.
Yes.
Now, at first you're like, oh, you know, I don't really...
You don't even want to move.
Yeah. Yet. At the end of the day, you know that you have to move. You're not going to stay under the
blanket. Well, nobody else is going to be able to do that for you. You
yeah.
can have people there to support you, and mm-hmm. you can have people there that care.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the only person yeah. that can help in that respect is yourself,
yeah.
you know?
Now, there's a problem can occur with that care thing and people that are there to support you.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people, when they're in a state of depression – and they're getting listened to and heard and loved and cared for, it kind of subconsciously can pay to stay there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get that.
It can pay to stay there. So this is why if you're not aware of that, that you're getting a lot out of being in that state of depression, and it's paying you to stay there, you're not going to want to move.
So many people, I can feel yeah. them saying yeah. in the background that yeah. What are you saying, that I actually like this place?
Well, there, it's both.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be.
And I agree
with
that.
There's a part of you doesn't like it, and there's a part of you is getting a lot out of it.
Yeah.
And it's not that that's a good or bad thing. You just have to be able to step out of that and be aware, hey, you know what?
There's parts of this
yeah.
that are serving me right now.
Yeah.
And the part of it that might be serving you right now is the fact that you can just check out for a bit. You can just relax. Yeah. You can just take yeah. yourself out of
yeah.
this place.
Yeah.
And Jim Carrey described depression really beautifully when
yeah.
he
yeah.
said that being depressed is a state of deep rest
yeah.
away from the person that you think you have to be, this persona, this avatar that you're trying to be for the world.
Right. So, it's important to explain that because
yeah.
so the person that is naturally inspired,
yes.
right, the person that is naturally inspired, not motivated but inspired, that person is able to live in a state of equanimity where they know that both in the world, both good and bad things happen. You know, so they're able to be the self and they're able to move between those two parts. Good things happen in my life, bad things happen in my life, but I know that I'm not the good things, I'm not the bad things, I'm actually the part that observes both of those parts.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what the true nature of the self is.
Yeah.
When you're depressed, that true nature of the self is in a state of deep rest and you're being the other side.
Yes, but I think the way what he's trying to say is that when you imagine you put me in that room again,
yeah.
right, and I'm in the room and I'm not living my values and I'm not doing what I love, then I'm being this person for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm acting out a part
yeah.
that is not the the true me.
The so the true self is in a state of deep, deep rest?
No, wait. Well, yes. Well, yeah, I think so.
Yes.
So let me finish. So I just got to get my thoughts.
Sure.
So my this is a person that's acting out.
Yeah.
It's an avatar. I'm acting out what other people want. And that happens at a subconscious level. We don't even realize we're doing that.
Yeah.
I'm actually being what mummy wants me to be or what daddy wants me to be or what my boss or partner or kids or whatever need me to be, whoever it happens to be. And I'm being over here.
Yeah.
And the longer that I stay in that space,
yeah.
right, the longer the true self is not able to handle the
well, it's not
pressure or what have you.
Not able to be the true self.
It's not, because it's not able to be the true self, it needs to go into a state of deep rest so it cannot have to pretend anymore.
Yeah.
It can take it's taking a rest away from pretending
yeah.
to the world that it's this when it really it's this.
Mm-hmm,
Does
mm-hmm,
that make sense?
Yeah, I see. I think you've got a different throw on it than how I was seeing Jim was talking about
what he was saying. Yeah.
What he was saying, because the way I was seeing it is that the true self is in a state of deep rest while you're being something else for someone else. So depression is when you're not living your values, right? You're living someone else's, so you're not yourself.
So your true self is resting. I think we're both saying the same thing in a different way. We're saying this microphone is black.
You're like, no, it's not. It's black.
We're saying the same thing in a different way.
Yeah.
My way's better, but that's okay.
So, and I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, when this occurs, you know, when we're in a state of joy, there are certain biochemical reactions that happen in the brain that allow us to feel that sensation of joy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's same, you know, because people say this all the time, but what about clinical depression? Well, all depression is a form of clinical depression, because there's certain chemical compounds that are released from the brain when you're in a state of sadness. You know, so that's clinical depression.
Well, people would say that sadness and depression aren't the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying is
a byproduct.
So what you're saying is that whether or not you're feeling joy, sadness, excitement, et cetera, there are chemical reactions that are going to be displayed in the body.
Yeah.
Depression is the same. It is a chemical thing because there's chemicals that are released
Correct.
when you're feeling that way, of course.
And I think when people take another chemical to try to suppress that, and I'm not saying you should or should not do that. When people take another chemical to try to suppress that, when you're trying to suppress sadness, you're also suppressing love and care and empathy and compassion. You cannot suppress one without, you know, it numbs the whole lot I think it's important. I know in my life the only way I've ever been able to get out of it is to go and do what I love. You know, it's to get up and go for a walk. It's to make sure I'm drinking lots of water. It's to hang with the people.
But do what you love. So what are the things that you love?
That's what I'm saying. I would go out, I would exercise, I would walk, I would talk, drink, make sure I've got lots of water in my body, make sure my I have fluid in my body.
What I mean is, what are the things that you love that got you out of that? Other than the natural stuff.
Well, it's hanging with the kids, spending time with my mum and dad, being in nature, exercising, going for a ride, being on the water, being close to people, also communicating, being able to actually talk.
Yes.
You know, actually talking about it. Okay, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
So whenever I would deal with a client, and I would say to them, okay, so what's going on? Well, I'm feeling depressed. Okay, well, just tell me some of the things that you loved to do as a kid, you know? And
can I just say, the first thing that somebody who's depressed and who's experiencing that, the first thing that they really struggle with is to tell us that.
Yeah.
Because they forget, they've they've been really caught up so long in life is
I don't know. I can't remember.
So but just when you really so sometimes the very first step is really digging deep and going, okay, well what lit you up? What made your heart beat? What was it that when you did that you just came alive?
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think that when then what I would do with him is I would say, okay, I want you to go and do that. Today you're going to go and do it. You're going to come back and see me tomorrow. And before you come back and see me tomorrow, I want you to journal how it made you feel. And then as soon as they start to do this, you know, as soon as they start to take back their first value, and then they take back a second value and a third value, and then they start to take themselves back, slowly but surely they become themselves again. Mm. Does that make sense? So they're all life is homeostatic. All life wants to get back into a state of balance. We're all trying to get back into a state of balance. So depression is just an imbalance within the self, you know?
Yeah.
And it's where the true self and that true state of equanimity, who is in that state of intelligence that knows I'm able to be both things. I can be good, I can be bad, I can be happy, I can be sad. But when you're just trying to be happy, happy, happy all the time, you just create the opposite side.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm always talking about the Wizard of Oz, but there's a great point within the Wizard of Oz, and this is really relevant for me at the moment. You know, I've been watching the Wizard of Oz and been debriefing this movie for 20 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the most important parts of the movie is when she comes back after getting the broom, and the wizard goes, "Who are you?" And then he screams at her again, you know, "Who are you?" And she stands up into herself, and she's gone through the journey. She's completely whole, completely awake, completely aware. She's a fully integrated individual woman, and she steps forward, and then her courage steps up beside her, her heart steps up beside her, the Tin Man steps up beside
intellect.
Her, so the intellect steps up beside her, and she stands there and she declares who she is. And only at that moment is the charlatan revealed, because the dog runs over and pulls the curtain back, and then she looks over and goes, "You know, you're the wizard? You're a really bad man." He goes, "No, no, no. I'm a really good man. I'm just a bad wizard. I'm just a bad archetype." I think that that's what happens when the curtain is drawn back. You know, when the curtain is drawn back in our lives and we step up into who we are and we start to take back who we are and we declare to ourselves, "This is who I am." Now, the only reason people abandon a value or attract somebody into their lives to abandon a value or a situation into their lives to abandon a value and that value become a void and that void become depression, the only reason that occurs within their lives is because life is beckoning to them and to the heart to actually own who they are.
Does
that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
To actually stop and go, "This is who I am."
Yeah.
You know, I am a warm, caring, fun loving, I enjoy, you know, and when we don't know who we are, someone else comes into our lives to try to tell us who we are. And then we try to be that for someone else. And that's also what can cause depression.
Well, that's,
you know, I will often say to a client, you know, who do you perceive as is wanting you to be something, or who do you perceive as wanting you to be a certain way or a certain person,
yeah.
or who are you trying to be a certain person for that you just feel as if you're not able to match up to that desire for
that them? Expectation. And 100%, every single person that we have experienced,
yeah.
that we've worked with, mm. who has experienced depression, and also ourselves, so based on that information, every single time they're trying to be something for somebody else.
Yeah.
Now, let's say it's they're trying to be something for their mum. That's not their mum's fault.
Yeah.
It's them feeling like, in some way, I can never match up.
Yeah.
Because I can never match up, I'm going to be this. I'm going to, you know, mum wants me to be a doctor. Okay, so I'm going to study medicine. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the, all of these things because that's going to, and it's a subconscious thing.
Yeah.
And then they end up feeling depressed, but it's because they've taken on somebody else's values. They think that in order to feel loved by this other person, that they need to be like the other person.
Yeah, or be what the person would like them to be.
Yes.
And the only reason that occurs is because you're not able to declare to the world what you want to be.
This is who I am. I don't get that I am valuable and important just on my own, and that the things that make me tick is...
Now, I know there's certain people on the other end of this will be going, "Yeah, but I've tried all that stuff and I don't know what's going on." And I really empathize with that. I really empathize with that. But trying and doing are two completely different things.
As in trying what?
I've tried all that stuff. I've tried, I've tried to do all those things.
What?
Well, you know, I'm saying like, listening to what we've just said.
Oh, like I know what you mean. Like, you know, taking your values back. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm trying to take my values back. No, you don't try to take your values back. You actually take your values back.
You do or you don't.
Yeah, you're either in or you're out. So you've got to actually go, pull out a piece of paper and say, okay, what do I do? What's that one thing that I've done throughout my life that I've loved? What's that one moment in my life that I've just felt free, unlimited, connected, awake, aware? You know, what is that event? And go and do those things. Go and be yourself. Does that make sense? Go and be yourself. That's all the world is asking you to do, is to be yourself, and love and own every single part of yourself. The other thing I would say is that it's very rich to be grateful to your depression.
Yes,
because
I agree with that too.
Your depression is simply beckoning you to be yourself. That's all it's asking you to do. Does that make sense?
Because every single time that I've experienced that, and also especially since I've been aware of what it is, it's that next level is I won't allow myself to get to that point anymore. Does that make sense? It's almost like this has taught me something. It's taught me that I'm trying to be something that I'm actually not.
Yeah.
And it's given me the opportunity to say enough is enough of me trying to do that. Does that make sense? It's giving me the ability to step into the next level of what I know I need to step into.
I often talk about mums and this, postnatal depression, prenatal depression. And I also, when we were on a podcast the other day
we were on a Zoom call,
and there was like seven to eight women, it was oscillating in and out of both, and four of them had babies there. And I love like young kids, and they're listening to the Zoom call, and they've got four kids there. Each one has an individual child. One of them even switched off the camera at one stage and went and changed the nappy. So, but my point is that I think we're starting to reach a point now where we're starting, there's information that's accessible that says what we're saying. Sometimes I know my mum came from a scenario where as soon as the kids came up, it was all about the children, and she lost herself. Does that make sense?
So you're talking about being depressed in the sense of losing yourself.
Yeah, it was just because she came from a lineage of that stuff. Hey, as soon as the children turn up, this becomes your life, and this is what it's about, and da 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 da. And then, so of course, you're going to get depressed because you're not doing what you love. Does that make sense?
A really good example of that is Ange when Lexi turned up.
I think we might have spoken about that.
We've probably spoken about that.
But when Lexi turned up, Ange became depressed, and the thing that I encouraged her to do, and she got herself.
Well, she became depressed because it was all about Lexi. It was all about the kid, but it wasn't. She stopped doing the things that she loved. She had stopped going to the gym. She'd stopped hanging out with her mates. She'd stopped going shopping. She'd stopped all of the things that really make Ange's heart beat. And it was really about you assisting her and helping her to see that it was okay for her to do those things.
So I was like, give me the baby, go and do what you love. Go and hang out with your buddies. But what about the baby? No, the baby's going to be fine. I got the baby. It's cool.
Yeah.
I think that when Ange went and did that, she found herself again. But in that, the hardest moment for her was the moment where she had to take the step away from not being herself, or the step towards being herself again.
Towards being herself.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But once she did it, she lit up, and it was instantaneous. The transformation was instantaneous in my wife.
Yeah.
She literally lit up like a light bulb. Came back within hours and was like, "Oh my god, I just feel like," and it's like, "And the baby's okay." Yes, everything's okay.
But it's also like it's important to understand that there's the possibility of doing that even if you don't have somebody around like you to be able to take the baby,
find someone.
Because what she actually ended up realizing was that she could take the baby down to the gym.
Absolutely.
And take the baby down to the creche so that, so she could not have to impose on anybody else and still, like there are ways around things. Mm-hmm. And even if it's only small steps make a difference. Like those little steps, because it's always a step towards your true self.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, as soon as you make those little steps towards your true self, you start to light up.
Yeah.
And that is the most difficult step to take because, and you know it, I know it. We've been in those places before. And that it's almost like there's a part of you pulling you back into that state of being depressed.
And but you have to understand that that's because it's simply because you're at that moment you're not ready.
No, I understand. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You're just, and that's okay.
Yeah, you're not ready, and also because there's a part of it that's comforting to you to be in that space.
And if you need that comfort in that state of depression,
that's okay as
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Look around and count your blessings and say, okay, who's here for me? Who's loving me? Who's taking care of me? And then that's sometimes the first steps to be able to get yourself out of that.
Now, I want to comment about something that I think is important in terms of this topic is that at the end of the day, as much as what assists us in those moments is somebody else being around or somebody helping us to take that step, the only person who can take that step is yourself.
Yes.
Nobody else can.
And it's
do
no
that.
One else's job.
Because the person that hands over the value, it's not somebody else that makes you give up your values.
Yeah.
You feel like you should based on the other person.
Well, when you don't feel you have any value, someone comes up to make you to try to
challenge it.
To try to give you something to value. You know what I mean?
And that's a good way to say it.
To try to give you something to value. So there, it's not about beating up the messenger. It's about understanding, well, you don't feel you've anything to value. When you take back your values, that person goes away.
Yes.
Because you empower yourself.
Yes. And so that's a really good way to say it.
While you're not able to do it, somebody turns up to, because it's a vacuum.
Yes.
Somebody turns up. It's a conservation of energy. Somebody turns up to be able to show you that you need to take yourself back.
Yes.
And while you can't, I'm going to give you this here, but it's never going to be enough.
Yes. So the point I'm trying to make here is that we're not saying that it's anybody else's responsibility. You have to take – well, the person who has to take responsibility in the sense that if I'm the one who gave up my values, the only one who can take back my values is me.
Yeah.
Right? And if you do anything other than that, and if the person who's experiencing that is putting the responsibility on another person or another situation or a circumstance, because sometimes circumstance gets us to a point where we feel depressed. Sometimes we've had big events happen in our lives that gets us to a point where we feel that, right? But at the end of the day, the only person who can take that back is ourselves. And unless we are aware of that, the key to our freedom or our happiness lies in somebody else, another event, another circumstance, if that makes sense. Yeah. So it's not about saying, you know, when mum changes or dad changes or if that situation never happened, then I can be happy, because the key to your happiness or the key to you being okay and your true self is always going to be in somebody else.
Yeah,
which doesn't work. The only way that you can get out of that is to do whatever you need to do for yourself.
Yeah.
And
if that means lying under the covers for another day,
that's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay. Yeah.
But
yeah.
As long as you have the concept in your mind that you're not that.
And I think that's another really good point, is that we're not that.
No.
We experience that.
Yeah.
And we're not taking away from the fact that some people experience that at extreme levels. But we experience that, but we are not that.
Yeah.
And as soon as you recognize that your true self has values, has things that light you up, and you start to take some of those things back, guaranteed you will be a different
person.
You'll be back to yourself.
When we do that, our biochemical reaction in the body is that our glial cells vibrate and light up. When we do what we love, when we're fulfilling a value, our glial cells, which are the cells that communicate between all the other cells, come into a state of alignment, and they actually bring
vitality and energy to your body.
That's right.
So it actually, that's why you start to light up, because there's actual biochemical reactions that happen as soon as you start to do things that inspire you.
So that's important, because people think, yeah, but I've tried to do things. No. If you're doing something that you love, there is a biochemical reaction within your body. Does that make sense? Mm. So you, if the first test is to actually go and do something that you love and watch what happens to
that
your body.
That you actually really truly love.
The other thing is that you get addicted to it and you feel called to do it once again. Does that make sense? Because once you have that biochemical reaction, you know, when you kiss someone for the first time and you have that biochemical reaction, you why do you draw forward to kiss them again? Because you want more of that biochemical reaction. Does that make sense? It's like when you eat a piece of chocolate. Why do you go and eat another piece of chocolate? Because you want more of that biochemical reaction. You're more addicted to the chemicals as opposed to the chocolate itself.
Yeah.
So it's same with when you start to do things that you love. You get an addiction to it.
Yeah.
You know, you get an addiction to doing the things that make you feel warm and those biochemical reactions inside of your body.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go on about this for hours.
Yeah, no.
There was something else I just wanted to say, especially in terms of people with careers, because I meet people who are in a job and really depressed, and they feel like, I have to go to this job because I got to feed the family and da-da-da-da-da-da. And the way to handle that is to ask yourself, okay, if I wasn't doing this job, what would I be doing? So let's say you think, well, I'd be fishing. Great. What else would you be doing? Well, you know, I'd probably be motorbike riding with my mates. Okay. If you want to be able to get out of a state of depression in your job, and everybody, no matter what the workplace, everybody has people who comes into a job and you observe them, they're unhappy, and then suddenly they come out of the job and they go off and they're doing something completely different. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And they're happy again, right? So when you're in a job and you're unhappy, you have to be able to be clear about what are the things that you do that you love. And every day, make sure that in some way you're contributing to the happiness that you have around doing the things that you love. So let's say it's motorbike riding, or let's say it's fishing. Every day, read a fishing magazine. Every day, think about another part of the coast that you're going to go and fish from. Every day, think about a buddy's boat that you're going to go out on and ring them and organize it. So be doing things in your everyday working life that are honoring the higher order of your value systems and that are honoring the things that you love to do.
Well, show, you've got to be able to see and show how you doing this work enables you to do those things.
And then the thing about it is, the quicker you're able to resonate with the things that you love, the quicker the environment responds to your resonance and brings more of those situations around you.
Does
that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think that really making sure that every day you're feeling it in some way. It's a bit like the analogy I use when I'm talking about the person who books a holiday in Bali. You know, you got the employee who's booked a holiday in Bali in 6 months' time. Now, for the first 5.5 months, for the rest of the 5.5 months until they go on their holiday in Bali, you don't really hear much about it. But the last 2 weeks, they're really talking about Bali. And within, you know, the last 7 days, you can't get anything out of them. You know, you just can't get anything out of them because they're already in Bali. They're already lying on the bed. They're already sipping pina coladas. They're already at the beach club. They're already there. So this is important that I think that when we tune into what we love and we start to turn up there as often as possible and as frequently as possible in that space, the quicker our environment changes to get us there. Does that make sense?
Mm.
So I think really, you know, taking time out every morning when you wake up to feel how you actually want to feel that day. Before you go to bed at night, to feel how you actually want to feel, how you felt that day, and register with the times and places when you felt them, the quicker people are able to get out of that state of depression, you know? Cool.
Cool.
I loved that.
I think that was good.
And I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, our objective is to be respectful of where people are at.
Well, everybody's got their experiences. I also want to, I think that we've spoken a little bit about unhappiness as well as depression. We understand that there's a difference, but we also understand, and we're also, our intention is to, you know, at the end of the day, assist. Do you know what I mean? We've seen it too many times.
Yeah.
We've seen it so many times where people are living somebody else's life instead of their own life. And I feel like, you know, I really wanted to be able to talk about this because it's an important topic.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's people out there that are there to assist, which is why, you know, obviously the Lifeline is number one, but there's people out there to assist.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of,
Live your life inspired.
Yeah.
Love is the only way, baby. Cool. High five on that one. Yeah.
Do you spit everything, everything?
I did spit. That's all spit. Oh, my God, I must have got excited in
you
this.
You did. You did a whole lot talking.
Cool.